It was not quite 17 years ago that myself and Jackie Chestnut, who was the senior minister over at the Southside Church in Rogers at the time, and one of our shepherds, Jim Canfield, we met together and we started talking through this idea of planting a church and taking what we, the good thing we had going at the church we were at, and trying to plant that on the, you know, somewhere here in Northwest Arkansas. And so we started talking through that. We started talking about what that would look like and what all we would need to make happen. And we were kind of making just kind of a skeleton list of plans of, you know, here's some things we need to consider. Here's some things we're going to need to talk about. Here's some things that are going to happen in order to make this plan kind of come to fruition. And one of the things that we talked about was like, well, who's going to go? Because, you know, Jackie was preaching, but I was also preaching. We both had the ministries that we were in charge of over there at Southside, and, you know, kind of it would be the one of the two of us, so which one of us is going to go? And so we're like, well, let's not decide that today. Let's save that for a time on down the road. And I don't remember the day of the week. I don't remember exactly, you know, I kind of remember the time of the year. But I came home, and at some point that evening, I'm talking to Christy about it. Talking to my wife, Christy, and we're talking about, you know, just the possibility and what that would look like. And she was our children's minister at Southside at the time. So, you know, she was going to come with me. Like, she wasn't going to keep doing children's ministry, and I'm, you know, planting a church somewhere else. So we're going to do this together, right? And we're talking about, you know, which families do you think would come with us? And where would we go? We don't even have a location. And what is this all going to look like? And we're just kind of talking through it. And do we even want to? I mean, our boys were young. They had good friends in that church family, and we had good friends in that church family. We knew not all of them were going to come with us, and I mean, should we, shouldn't we? And we just kept talking through all these different things, and then we kind of interrupted ourselves, and we thought, you know what? Let's just pray about this. Let's just pray about it. And so we did. And after that time of prayer, maybe not immediately after, but pretty soon after, started feeling like, this is the thing for us to do. This is the thing for us to be involved in. This is something we want to pour ourselves into. And so here we are over 16 years later with this church family. And God has blessed us in numerous ways. God has blessed this church in incredible ways. God has used this church to bless other people in amazing ways. And I want to give him all glory and praise for that. It is because of him and his power and his moving and his direction and his guidance that whatever you would label as success as far as this church family is concerned, it is all because of him. But I still remember the moment. I remember the chair that I was sitting in. And I remember thinking, we just need to pray about this. And I bring that up to you because I'm just curious for you to think for yourself. You don't have to answer out loud. How often do we do that? When there's big decisions in life, when there's some significant change that I'm going to make, when there's something, some kind of shift that I'm going to make in my life in some way, in some form or fashion, how often is prayer the first thing that I go to? Because a lot of us, myself included, if there's something I'm going to do, if there's some new endeavor that I'm going to be a part of, if there's some new task that I'm going to take on, whatever, you know, a project to be involved in, whatever it is, my immediate reaction is to start thinking, okay, what do I need to do? How is this going to work? What's the plan that I need to make? Who else do I need to get involved? And I start planning. I start thinking through all the processes. And I'll be honest with you guys, my first inclination is not always to pray. And I might get there eventually, but it's not always what I do first. And I wonder about the rest. I wonder if that's what we do. And I know there's some of you because you've shared with me. I know that there's some of you that like, whatever the decision is, whatever the project is, whatever it is that is on my heart to do, I'm going to pray about it first. And that's awesome. That doesn't happen for all of us. Some of us, like, that doesn't happen at all, period. We come up with the plans and the materials and whatever actions we're going to have to take, and we might think about talking to God about it later on down the road. I'm not judging. I'm saying that's what we do, right? So I want to talk about that this morning. Because we started talking last week about this concept, this thought of doing something. Specifically when God puts something on my heart. And I know it's from him. I know it's something that he's leading me to. It's this calling. It's this sense of purpose. It's this thing that I can't get out of my mind. I can't get off my heart. I know it's something I need to be a part of, or some change I need to make, or somebody that I need to connect with. Whatever it is, I know it's from God. It's this calling. It's this pull. It's this weight. It's this burden. But I need to move from the burden itself to action. I need to do something with it. And so that's what we started talking about last week. Actually going ahead and taking a step forward, stepping sometimes into the unknown, doing something. And in the process of thinking through that, we're looking at the story of Nehemiah. Because we talked about how there's multiple Bible characters that God gave them a calling, God gave them a purpose, God put something on their hearts, and they followed forward. They stepped into that, which is great. But Nehemiah especially, in his story, that's what we're looking at this morning. And if you don't remember, if you weren't here last week or you don't know much about Nehemiah, he's got a book in the Bible named after him. So if you got your Bibles or your Bible apps, and just to let you know, most of the scriptures, maybe even all the scriptures we're going to look at today, are going to come from the book of Nehemiah. So if you want to scroll there in your Bible apps, if you want to turn there right now, you can. It's about the halfway point of your Bibles. In the Old Testament, Nehemiah lived hundreds and hundreds of years ago. He was a cupbearer for the king of the Persian Empire. He was an Israelite. He was a Jewish man. And he was, had this prestigious job with a lot of responsibility and very close to the king of the entire Persian Empire, because he served as a cupbearer, right? But he gets word that years later, even after some of his people had been allowed to return from captivity to the city of Jerusalem that had been destroyed by the Babylonian Empire, that the city itself was still sitting in ruins, that the walls were still crumbled and collapsed, and there were just remnants and just rubble that was left of what this glorious city used to look like. And Nehemiah is so moved by that news when he hears that report that he wants to do something about it. And he feels, he knows this is a calling from God. This is something God has put on my heart. And so when you read through the rest of the story of Nehemiah, he follows that call. He talks to the king and he gets permission to go back to Jerusalem and he gets materials to take with him. And he goes and he inspects the wall and he gets other people that are living there to help him build this wall. And they get it built in less than 2 months. It's this amazing feat. Especially because Nehemiah wasn't a builder, and probably most of the people that were with him weren't builders either, and yet God empowers him to do this incredible thing. But Nehemiah had a calling, had a burden that was on his heart, and he did something with it. And so we talked last week about having a heart that can be burdened. That some of us need to just be willing to open our hearts up and be willing to let God call us to places that might be uncomfortable, call us to do things that we may not ever have tried before, or something that's just going to be difficult for us. But it doesn't matter, because we know that God has given us this sense of purpose and the sense of meaning and this calling, and we need to have that kind of heart and that kind of attitude that says, okay, I'm going to step forward, and I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, exactly how it's going to work out, but I'm in. And do we have even a heart that can be burdened? That's what we talked about last week. And so I want to keep moving forward in Nehemiah's story. I want to show you another aspect of his story, this principle that you see repeated over and over and over again through Nehemiah that we're going to see today. And that is, when he has this calling, when he has this desire to go rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem, before he puts a plan into action, before he gets those materials put together, before he even talks to the king, the first thing that he does is pray. And you see this over and over again in Nehemiah. First pray, then act. And if you tune me out the rest of this time that we have together, remember this phrase. First pray, then act. Write it down. Tap it into your phones, screenshot it if you want to. Because I think this principle is something that God calls us to do, to have a part of our lives on a regular basis. I think God calls us to do particular things, to take particular actions. And we're going to talk about this more in just a minute. But God puts a burden on our hearts. But I think God initially wants us first to pray about it, to talk to Him about it. This weight that He's put on our hearts, this thing that He's calling us to and leading us to that we just can't get away from, that He wants us to spend time talking to Him about it. Then do something. And this is what you see over and over again with Nehemiah. And you see it in different situations. As he's getting ready to act, as he's getting ready to do something, he prays first. Nehemiah prays when he feels this burden on his heart. When he feels it in the first place. I mean, remember, Nehemiah's brother had come back from Jerusalem and told him about the walls and told him about the condition of the city. And just hearing that news caused Nehemiah to just break down weeping. And he says in chapter 1, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, for some days I mourned and fasted and what? Prayed. It's okay to say it out loud. I mourned and fasted and what? I prayed before the God of heaven. I mean, Nehemiah is emotionally impacted, obviously, by this calling that God has given him. He's physically impacted by it. And maybe is even starting to formulate a plan in his mind of how he can do something with this thing that God has put on his heart. But the first thing that he's going to do is he's going to pray about it. He's going to talk to God about that burden. And if you keep reading in chapter 1, you read this whole prayer that Nehemiah shared with God because of the burden that was put on his heart. But when God put that thing there, when God gave him this sense of calling, the first thing that Nehemiah did was he prayed. First pray. Then act. Nehemiah also prayed when he was about to act. Right before he was about to take action, he prayed about it. And you see this again and again. I mean, he probably had this plan. He probably didn't know exactly how it was going to go, but he kind of had some plans in mind or how he was going to approach the king or what he was going to say or how he was going to get the materials put together that he's going to need to take with him. He probably was thinking about all those things, but before he actually did that, before he asked for help, before he got those resources together, before he even went and talked to the king about getting permission to go, the first thing he did was he prayed. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11, at the end of, as Nehemiah is getting towards the end of his prayer, he says, give your servant, he's talking to God, give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. Who's this man that he's talking about? The king of the Persian Empire, who has a lot of other things probably on his mind than rebuilding the walls of this conquered city. So Nehemiah says, I'm going to go in. I'm going to talk to the king. I'm going to ask for permission to walk away from this prestigious job and go rebuild these walls that I've never built a wall, much less city walls before. But I'm going to go ask for permission to do that. Not only am I going to ask for permission, I'm going to ask for materials. I'm going to ask him to give me materials and letters of permission that I can show to other people who might question my right to do this. I'm going to ask the king for these things. But before I do that, I'm going to pray. Matter of fact, Nehemiah does it again when he walks into the room with the king. He brings the king his cup because he is a cupbearer. And there's something in Nehemiah's demeanor that catches the king's eye. This is in chapter 2. And the king recognizes Nehemiah's upset. There's something on his mind. There's something weighing on his heart. And he asks him about it. And so Nehemiah sees this opportunity. I'm going to ask the king. He's opened the door for me to share what's on my heart, for me to share what it is that God has put on my heart to do. But before he does that, look in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. The king said to me, what is it you want? And then I, what? Say it out loud. Prayed to the God of heaven. And then I answered the king. Just in that moment, before he answered the king, maybe in his mind, maybe in his heart, Nehemiah just said, okay, God, give me your words right now. God, help me in this moment. God, make this go well. Or as he prayed in chapter 1, God, move the heart of the king as I'm getting ready to speak to him. Whatever it was, before he spoke out loud to the king, he spoke in his heart to God. First pray, then act. Nehemiah also prayed when other people criticized him for what he was doing. I mean, there's people living in the area around the city of Jerusalem that didn't want to see the Jewish people reestablish themselves. They didn't want to see those walls rebuilt. They didn't want these people coming back after they'd been taken away years, you know, decades ago. They didn't want these people coming back and taking over this territory again. They were upset by it. So they went about, as you read through Nehemiah, first they just ridiculed them. Like, you guys don't know anything about walls. These walls are going to fall down. Take care of yourself, because it's just going to collapse as soon as you build it. When that didn't work, they began to threaten them that, we're going to tell on you. We're going to write letters to the king. We're going to get you in trouble, and you're not going to be able to do this anymore. And when that didn't work, and the workers kept working, then they started threatening their lives. We're going to kill you if you keep building this wall. And through all that criticism and through all those negative comments, through all the threats, they kept building. But Nehemiah also used those opportunities to pray. One of those prayers is just a simple sentence in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 4. Hear us, God, for we are despised. It's just a simple sentence, but there's such power in it. Nehemiah is looking at the situation and recognizing he's got people. Some might be really good builders, but he's a cupbearer, and this guy over here that has one section of the wall, he's a perfume maker. And we got these other people that are threatening them. As a matter of fact, as you read through Nehemiah, you find out that some of these guys are working with a tool in one hand and a sword in the other, just in case they get attacked. And yet Nehemiah knows, this is something God has put on my heart. This is something I know you're leading me to do. But man, these people are criticizing us. They're making fun of us. They're threatening us. God, we need you. We need you to hear. We need your presence. We need you to protect us. Even in the middle of the criticism, Nehemiah prayed. And Nehemiah also prayed when he felt like quitting, when he felt like giving up. I mean, this is hard work, and it took time, and people were scared. And you had all these negative voices and criticism, and any single one of those might cause us to be like, you know what? Not worth it. Done with this wall. But Nehemiah and his fellow workers, they didn't give up. They didn't walk away. They stayed. They finished. Why? Because they prayed. Again, when Nehemiah is being threatened and Nehemiah is being criticized from these outside sources, in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 9, in this moment where Nehemiah is like, maybe I should quit. I'm scared. I'm tired. I don't know for sure this is the right thing to do. He might even feel like walking away, but he says this in Nehemiah 6 and verse 9. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. God, help me not quit. Give me strength. Help me keep going. I know this is something you've called me to do. Give me strength. I don't want to walk away from it. I don't want to quit on it now. I believe that Nehemiah probably at different times felt like quitting. But when those feelings came in, when those thoughts entered his mind and his heart, he prayed. See, I want us to see that. I want us to see that throughout this whole experience that Nehemiah felt this burden on his heart and he felt this call to do something that God was leading him to do. And throughout that whole experience, Nehemiah prayed. He prayed before he acted, and he prayed when he felt the burden in the first place, and he prayed through the criticism, and he prayed through the desire to quit. And Nehemiah modeled that principle. First, pray, then act. Do something with this burden that God has laid on your heart. Absolutely. But first, pray about it. And I think this is what we all need to be doing. When God comes into our lives, when God calls us or is leading us to do something or puts an opportunity in front of us, we recognize this is a moment where I can take action. This is a moment where I can do something. This is something that I feel like, this is urge, this is call, and I feel like God is leading me into this. And I need to pray. When God is leading me to volunteer for something, maybe here at this church, volunteering our kids ministry, our teen ministry, or some other thing that we got going on, or when we have different events and we need some help with that, we're asking for people to serve and to help. And maybe it's something that God has put on my heart. Ah, I need to be a part of that. But it's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take a lot of effort. It's something I never tried before. It's something I tried before and failed. I need to do something, but first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pray about it. Maybe there's some significant change I have to make in my life. Maybe it's a job change. Maybe I need to switch positions. Maybe I need to do something different in my workplace. First pray, then act. Maybe I'm dating somebody. Maybe this might be the one. Maybe God has led me into this relationship. This might be the person I'm supposed to spend the rest of my life with. You know what I need to do about that? I need to pray about that. Maybe there's something that needs to shift, change, maybe be overhauled in my marriage. Something needs to be different. We can't go on with our relationship the way that it is. And I feel that. I sense that. I know it. God wants me to be a better spouse. God is leading me to do something different in my marriage and in our family. Pray about that first. What is it that God is leading me to? God, make it obvious. God, give me the willingness to do that. When it comes to just my family, just being a parent, being a good sibling, and something needs to be different. It's unhealthy. We're not in a good spot as a family. Pray about that before we just start reading all the books about how to be better parents. Pray about it first. When I have an addiction and I keep thinking, okay, now this time I'm finally done with it. No, this time I'm finally done with it. No, this time I'm not going to go back to it anymore. And maybe it's just a really bad habit, a really hurtful habit. And I want to stop, and I know that God is calling me to stop and leading me to stop, maybe even giving me opportunities to stop and to change and to do something different in my life. I need to pray about that. And the steps are important. The resources are important. The rehab or the therapy or whatever it is, that's important. But pray. Talk to God about it. I may have anger in my heart. I may have resentment towards another person. They have hurt me or hurt somebody that I care about, and I'm so done with them. I don't like being around them. I don't like seeing them, but I know that's not right. I know there's something in my heart that says I need to forgive, not just in Scripture, but within me. There's something that God is telling me. You need to let go of your hatred. You need to let go of your anger. You need to let go of your bitterness, and I want to. I have that desire to. I'm going to have to figure out how to do that. First, pray. I may need to have just a difficult, awkward conversation with someone. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a neighbor. And I see the things that are happening in their lives. They're burdened with something themselves, and God has put the weight on my heart to reach out to them, to connect with them, to talk with them through that, to be a shoulder for them to lean on, to be a sounding board for them, whatever it is. Maybe I see some decisions and choices they're making, and I've been down that path, or I've seen people go that same direction, and I feel like I need to say something. I need to have that conversation, but I don't know what the words are. I don't know if it's going to hurt our relationship or not. You know what I need to do? I need to pray. I mean, folks, the list could go on and on. When there's something that God is putting on my heart and leading me and saying, do this, before I do that, first pray. Talk to God. Be honest. God, I'm scared. God, I'm confused. God, this is something I've never tried before. God, I don't know if this is going to work out. But also, God, I want you as a part of this. Give me what I need. Help this happen. If this is truly something you're putting on my heart, make it happen. First pray, then act. Very quickly, we need to wrap up. Very quickly, I don't want to leave you hanging with like, okay, pray, but how? Like, what does that need to look like? So I want to share with you some things, and you see these things modeled in the way that Nehemiah prays. I want to share them very quickly this morning and look at Nehemiah's blueprint for what my prayer life needs to look like, especially when God is laying something on my heart. When I come to God with that prayer, if you know, the preacher man is standing up here and saying, first pray, then act, sounds good. How do I pray? What does that look like? First thing I need to do in that prayer is I need to praise God. I need to praise God. Whatever it is he's calling me to do, I need to spend a moment just praising God for being God. Thanking him for all that he does. Thanking him even for this opportunity that I am convinced is coming from him. And this isn't about buttering God up. And you know, I'm about to ask him for something, so let me stroke his ego a little bit first so that he'll do whatever it is that I'm asking him to do. This is about praising God because he is actually helpful to me, because he actually has the power to do something for me and with me, that I'm praising him for giving me the opportunity. It reminds me that God is in charge, that he has a plan, and that I can trust whatever direction it is that he's leading me. So Nehemiah, we go back to Nehemiah's prayer, right? There in chapter 1, in Nehemiah chapter 1, you see this long prayer that he has when he has this burden to rebuild these walls, when that burden's put on his heart. And in verse 5, the first thing he says is he starts praying to God before he acts. Before he does something, verse 5, it says, "Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments." I mean, just that sentence, just that verse, Nehemiah is praising God. God, I have this burden on my heart and I want to talk to you about it. But first, I want to acknowledge not just for you, but for myself. I want to remind myself that you are awesome, that you are great, that you always love your people, that you always forgive us, that you always bless us. I want to remind myself of that, and I want to praise you for it. Because folks, when we do that, when we start our prayers with praise, it reminds us of who he is and whose we are. Which is the best place for us to be when we go to him. Because of the next thing that I need to do when I pray, and that is to submit. To submit to God, to submit to his plan, to submit to what it is that he's going to lead me to do. See, when God puts things, as I said before, when God puts things in my heart, here's an action you need to take. Here's something you need to be a part of. Here's something you need to do. And I know, I can sense, and I know it's a calling from him. What I typically do is I start coming up with a plan of action. Now I've got my agenda. I've got my steps. I've got my checklist. And when I pray to God, I might even praise him and say, "God, thank you for this opportunity. You're a great and awesome God. Now, here's my plan. And what I would like for you to do, God, is just take, I've already thought through everything. I already know all the answers to all the questions. And God, I just need you to go, that sounds good. I'll make it happen. God, I just want you to say yes to everything that I'm asking. I want you to rubber stamp it and say, I'm in. Let's do this." Folks, that's not surrendering to God's will. That's making him endorse my will. That's not the right heart. God may be putting something on my heart. God may be leading me to take an action, to do something, to make some kind of change, to take some kind of action, and I recognize this from him. But as I'm praying to him and getting ready to ask him for his help, I need to be willing to be humble enough to say, "God, if this is not the direction, if this is not the plan, if this is not the help that I need, if these are not the resources that I need, if this is not the direction I need to go, make that obvious. I want to do what you are leading me to do. So God, you make it happen." I mean, look at what Nehemiah says at the end of his prayer in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11. "Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and pray and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name." Nehemiah says, "God, I'm your servant. I am yours. Lead me whatever direction you want me to go. Do whatever it is you want to do, and I will follow because you are the master. I am your servant. You are God. I'm your child. Let the plan be yours. I just want to follow." That's the kind of heart that we need to have. Not a heart that says, "God, do everything that I have already decided to do." A heart that says, "God, what is it that you want me to do?" And then finally, I need to ask. Go ahead and ask. What is it? I've humbled myself and I've asked God to reveal his plan, and maybe he has already, or maybe I'm still waiting on that, but I can go ahead and ask. Ask for his presence. Ask for him to make things happen. Ask for him to do the things that I think he's leading me to do those things for me. Whatever materials I need, whatever help I need, whatever direction I need to go, I just need to ask him, God, help me do this. Will you provide this for me? Will you do this thing for me? Sometimes the answer is yes, absolutely. You're going the direction I want you to go. You're doing the things I need you to do. Yes. The answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is, that's not the direction I want you to go. No, I'm not going to do that. I have another plan in mind. I have another way for this to work. Sometimes the answer is, you're going the right direction. I'm going to do something different in the process, but we're going to get there. But I don't need to be scared to ask. And I know that seems counterintuitive to what I just talked about being humble and seeking God's direction first. But both things can be actually true, and both things are what we see modeled for us by Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a servant. God, it is your will. It's your direction. Whatever you want done, I want to do it. But then going back to that same verse, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11, look at the rest of what he says again. I know we've already looked at it, but let's look at it again. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. God, I'm going to go talk to the king. I feel like that's the direction I need to go. And so I need your help. I need you to move in the king's heart. I need him to listen. I need him to want to help this lowly person that he doesn't have to help. Nehemiah went ahead and asked. He had this burden on his heart, and he had a plan of action, and he asked God. God gives us permission to ask. He doesn't guarantee what he's going to answer, but he wants us to ask. First, pray. Pray a prayer of praise. Pray with submission and humility. And pray with what's on your heart to ask God for. Then act and see what God does. We're going to wrap up this morning. And we're going to keep talking about this for a couple more weeks. About this ability to do something. And I think it's important for us to talk about these things right now because we are in a place, even here with our church family, besides all of us as individuals, here's the church family, we have opportunities to do something. I mean, if you were here at the beginning of worship this morning, you saw all the kids up on stage, we have a growing kids ministry. You know what we need with a growing kids ministry? More people who are willing to be a part of the kids ministry. The more kids we have, the more servants we need, the more people we need who have a heart for kids, who have a desire, not just a desire, but see the power of pouring a little bit of themselves into the lives of these children. This is kingdom work we're talking about. This is not just babysitting. We are helping to raise and form faith in the lives of future adults who are going to go out and change this world for Jesus Christ. Don't you want to be a part of that? I know, some of you are like, nope. Don't you want to be a part of kingdom work like that? I mean, just here at Flagstone, we have a whole list of ways to help, to volunteer, to give, to be a part of God's kingdom. So, like I said last week, here's what I want you guys to do. And you may have the same piece of paper, the same thing in your phone, but if you weren't here last week, then do this today. I promise we're wrapping up. What is it that God is putting on your heart right now to do? Maybe not here at Flagstone, it may be in your workplace, it may be with a friendship, it may be in your family, in your marriage. What is it that you know God is putting this on my heart right now? God is leading me to make a change in my life, to do something for someone else, to be a part of something that I've never been a part of before, to give in a way that I never have given before. What is it? And I want you to take your bulletin, take your Connect card, pull out the notes app on your phone. What is it? Write it down. If you're worried about other people seeing it, put some initials down or draw a little picture, something tangible that you can look at and know this is something that I can sense and know that God is putting on my heart right now, and I want to do something about it. Because here's what we're going to do in this moment. Can you do this right now if you haven't already? Write it down, look at it, or picture in your mind. Because we're going to pray. We're going to pray right now. God Almighty, I believe that with this many people in this room and watching online, there has to be things that you are putting on people's hearts. There's some changes that need to be made in their own personal habits. There's some addictions that they need to walk away from. There's some relationships that they need to take the first step in trying to heal. There's opportunities to be your light and your presence in their workplaces and their neighborhoods. There's people that they need to connect with that maybe they feel uncomfortable about that. There's ministry opportunities and volunteer opportunities. God, there's some of us that just have become so wrapped up in our own finances and you're putting on our heart to share that and to give that to people who need it more than we do. Whatever it is, God, you are the awesome God. You are the mighty God. You know what's on our hearts. You know the blessings that we have, and you know the things that we struggle with, and you love us no matter what, and you empower us when we don't think we're worthy enough, when we don't think we have the gifts or the tools or even the right to do anything. You give us that, God. You put things on our hearts because you love us that much, and you see things in us that we don't see in ourselves. Thank you, God, for that. And help us to see and sense and know what it is that you're putting on our hearts right now. And God, help us to step forward. Send us the people that need to help us, or make it obvious to us what the plan of action needs to be, or if we need to take more time, give us patience to keep praying to you and keep seeking your direction and your calling. God, the things that are on our hearts that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt you are leading us to, help us to move to action. Help us to do something. We are praying to you first, God, but we give us a willingness to act. Let us look back on this moment today, maybe later on this week, maybe a month from now, maybe a year from now, look back and see where we are now, and we can look back on this moment and go, right there, that's when I decided to do something about what God was putting on my heart, and look what he did. We pray for that through the power of your son, Jesus. Amen. One of my favorite movies was on the other day when I was channel surfing. And my son Tyson and I watched the end of it. It was the movie Sandlot. How many of y'all seen the movie Sandlot? Okay. If you haven't seen it, I'm going to spoil a little bit of it for you today. But, I mean, it's over 30 years old, so what can I tell you? You should have seen it by now. The whole thing, you know, these kids are trying to get this baseball back from the beast. And at the very end of the movie, you know, the beast gets loose, and they bring him back to Mr. Myrtle to bring his dog back to him, and they knock on the door. And Mr. Myrtle comes to the door, and he says, y'all, you know, thanks him for bringing the dog back, and y'all are the ones that have been making all that racket out there. And they're like, yeah, and they tell him, you know, we're trying to get this baseball back. And he says, well, why didn't you ask me? I'd have gotten it for you. And remember, Squints had told them you couldn't do that, so they all start hitting him, you know. We got the ball back. But just that question, why didn't you ask me? I'd have gotten it for you. I had the power. I know how to contain the beast, this dog. And I could have gotten it for you if you'd just asked. Maybe there's something that God has put on your heart right now, some action to take, something to do. And maybe we're a little scared, nervous, unsure. Or maybe we're so convinced that we've got to come up with the action plan all on our own. We have the creator of the universe who promises to give us what we need to do what it is that he is leading us to do. And we don't ask him. And I think sometimes God is going, why don't you just ask? And so We're going to stand up here in just a second. We're going to sing a song together. And I want to invite everyone that's here. If there is something that is on your heart, a change that needs to be made in your own life, something that some habit, some addiction, some relationship that you need to walk away from, some step in faith that you need to take and you're scared to take it, something that is on your heart and you're like, I need prayers. I don't just need me. I need other people praying with me. You're welcome to come to the front and share that with us. And we will bring that before our awesome, mighty, loving God and ask Him. And I promise you He'll answer. So if we can do that for you this morning, please come to the front now while together we stand and sing.